Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting, do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. It looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed. Unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests, David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are the very first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Hank Azaria, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a review of Trainspotting 2 in Hooray for Baldywood. And now, the inspiration behind the character Mo on The Simpsons, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for sharing all the good news. We love that about you. All right. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
She got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it.
Might be wondering why I played that drop.
Yes.
Fun bit of trivia. That's from the movie Heat with Al Pacino, of course. The man he is yelling that to. Hank Azaria.
Amazing.
Did
Hank
not?
Azaria had
well
his
done.
Head all the way up. Do you know whose ass he had his head all the way up? Who the great ass is in the great ass clip?
No.
So, circa 1995, Ashley Judd.
Wow.
Oh, really?
She did indeed have a great ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was busting her. He had him wired or whatever because he was seeing the girl who was the mob guy's wife, but he was seeing her, and so he had an in to get into the mob or the organized crime.
Feel like that's the white man's ass, though, Ashley Judd. I mean, ass on the white man's side.
Oh, yes.
I think if you're going a little more ethnic, you got to round it out a little more than that.
Yeah.
All right.
Give Ashley Judd her ass due.
I will.
Do not deny her ass due.
Yes. And she is going crazy. Is she going crazy?
She's been crazy? I don't know where she started, but she is. She's really feeling her oats. She's really, stretching out.
I feel like she's going insane.
She might be getting insane.
But she might be.
Yeah, she's letting loose with the opinions.
Yeah. Which is fine. It's the way she's doing it. It makes her seem nuts.
Like in what way?
Oh, I think she was at like the Woman's March or something and got a little nuts.
Oh, I like that speech.
That was, well, you can like it. I like pro wrestling, but yeah. I mean, it's like she went a little batty.
She went up on the turnbuckle.
She's somewhere between suplex. Nuts and I don't give a fuck. Like she's treading in that little zone. Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. It's
I got that Judd money.
Yeah.
It's Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
And I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back, all the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
Judd don't crack. She looks
good.
She's
and
good.
I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman.
17-year-old?
I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust.
Oh, I don't remember.
A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell.
Gary, put it on pause.
Blacks are still.
Do you guys think this is extemporaneous off the top of her head?
No.
Or do you think this is written out?
She's quoting a 19-year-old.
17-year-old.
Yeah, or whatever.
Okay, but
and she said,
she's quoting it to such an extent that she couldn't have just heard, like, oh, that's good. I'm going to say that on stage. Like, she,
oh, no,
it's
she
just
practiced.
It is rehearsed.
100%.
Oh, 19?
Okay.
It says 9. She says 17.
She said 19.
Oh, 7?
This
oh.
is the first time I've seen this.
Oh, well, I thought, maybe I got my odd numbers mixed up.
And she said,
wait, go run it back in. I'm going nuts.
She said, my city.
She's a proud Kentuckian.
Heavens.
Down to 17th Street.
Oh, wow. Seven. Oh, sorry. Sorry. 19, right. It was 17th Street.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middleton.
That's where my 17 came from. All right. Now we'll get back to real time.
This is fantastic.
As the prison system in front of people who
go back.
Melanin.
Oh, no. You're, yeah.
Like
this
melanin,
is great.
Melanin.
Cheeto dust.
Hold on.
Maybe the South actually is going to rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber.
I'd like an apology from
the
both of you.
Out of
you're
America, turning
right.
rainbows. Let's into suicide notes.
Let's
I
hear her out.
I'm not as nasty
you haven't heard the
as
yet.
Racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. Daughter being your favorite sex symbol.
Oh, well.
Like your wet there. Dreams infused with your own genes.
All right, hold on a second.
Yeah.
When saying, when a guy, what's your daughter saying, like, she's hot, uh-huh. like, look, people, you know how many times people have said to me, your daughter, like, look out when she turns 17, and I acknowledge it. That's not me being attracted
totally.
To my daughter. And it's insane. Or to say, to see a very cute 14-year-old girl and go, you're going to be knocking them dead, or, well, we'll get, or even 11-year-old go, we're going to get married one day or something. It's not you, proposing yeah. or implying
it's
that you'd like to have
it's
sex with an 11-year-old. Ever guys have always said that. So this thing where it's like, he said he wanted to do this and then claimed that, it's kind of insane.
But
that,
did you ever go on The View with Natalia and say if she wasn't your daughter, you'd probably be dating her?
Well, that's an old school version. But what does it mean? What I want to know from all the haters, like, what does it mean? You think he has sexual desires toward his daughter? It's like an old school version. He's old.
He is old.
It's a 7-year-old version of here's how you say this is a hot young lady. This is how you say it in his vernacular. He doesn't know that you're not supposed to even, you have to call her Ms. now or whatever it is. Like, you can't even refer to her as a, like, the fact that you've called her attractive is sort
is
of an attack.
Off,
in his world, that's the ultimate, hey, if I could marry her, I would.
There's also
know?
A when in Rome kind of thing. Like, if you're on the Howard Stern show answering those questions, which he was, like, your daughter's real piece of ass. Like, you can't be like, Howard, how dare you? How dare you?
But when Joy Behar says it to you.
Yeah, then you got kind of similar, but not the same.
But you don't, but what I'm saying is, if you're going to look for stuff, go get some stuff. These are offhanded, nothing comments that's not him, unless you think he's attracted to his daughter.
But she has to round out this monologue.
Oh, that's true.
She needs some material.
Well, here it is.
I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty. like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter?
Ashley, we're getting off topic. Please back to Trump.
This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty.
And I'm picturing, hold on, you got to pause it. It's got to be funny when the director like comes in her trailer and he's like, we're going to go shoot scene 28. And she's like, I need a little more time. I'm not off script yet. And she's like, I saw the 22 minute soliloquy you delivered by the 19-year-old from Houston. You didn't miss a beat. Yeah. And she gave it to you the night before.
You'll be good.
You got this script a month ago. Now, come on. The hell out here. Get a highlighter, bitch.
Goddamn professional.
All right, Gary. Did Gary...
Gary had enough.
Gary or somebody, go ahead and hit it. Sorry.
Be nasty. I'm nasty. Like my blood stains on my bed sheets. Ew. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would.
Wrap it up. We don't like throwing away
our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxable?
Why
are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra?
You guys
still
got
back to your earpiece.
Wait, there's only 12 more minutes.
That was the worst trailer for Double Jeopardy 2 ever.
It's the first time I've seen this.
Got the word tax right in Tampax.
This is true.
tax.
It's in there somewhere.
You can't say Tampax without tax. That's what I'm saying. Oh,
that was
boy.
Awesome.
All right. So I think she is losing.
The jury's still out.
The jury's still out. All right. I like it. I look forward to more. Blinds galore. Now, this ain't nutty. This is blinds galore. Been spring cleaning, rake the leaves, change your sheets, do something that makes a difference. New window treatments from Blinds Galore. High quality. 100% custom-built window treatments made to your exact measurements. They'll look like they belong in your home because they are custom-made for your home. Team of experts located out in San Diego, California, will pick up the phone. They'll talk to you. They'll send you samples. They'll get you dialed in, and they'll give you exactly what you want. We have them here. We're putting them – well, we have them in the other studio. I have them at my house. I have my bedroom. I have my bathroom. I have them everywhere, but we're just going to get some more because we're building out the studios. So we're going deeper into the blinds galore. Makes it easy. Custom blinds and shades you've always wanted. Do it right in your home. And keep out that heat because it's getting hot now. And it'll blast in and screw your thermostat up. So go check it out. Go to blindsgalore.com. That's blindsgalore.com. Blinds Galore. Let them know I sent you. Blinds Galore. All right. See, questions. All right. Get ready with CNN over there, Gary. Ken, 50 Phoenix.
Hey, Adam.
What's going on? How are you?
Hey.
Hey.
Do you understand my question?
Does Adam still let go of the steering wheel when it begins to spin out? Yes, I do tend to relax.
Did you do that on your big car that kind of got on you the last race?
The Corvette? When I spun out?
Yeah, it sort of, you over-revved it. It it had a power issue. You had too much power to the wheels, and it spun out.
Yeah.
You didn't let go of the wheel, did you?
850 horsepower.
This is damn exciting stuff.
I don't know.
You have 20 solid minutes on this.
Ask Maxipad. I don't know. He has footage of me letting go of the wheel or not letting go of the wheel, so we can take a look at the tape, and then Ashley Judd's going to narrate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, look, and she's married to a race car driver. That
she was married.
Dario Franchitti?
Franchitti.
It's over?
I get the feeling it's
news,
over.
Ken. Good news, Ken.
Yeah, I think Dario, who I do know pretty well, is a pretty cool and laid-back guy, and his brother as well.
Is this a little much?
I do feel like they parted ways.
I don't need to do the dishes tonight.
Yeah, sweet. I just want some soft-boiled eggs. That's all. I got the Indy 500 coming up here.
Well, that's my only question is because I know that you spun out your Camaro over in Fontana once, and I saw you let go of the wheel, and I go, why are you doing that? And that's probably why you're spinning out. Those larger rear wheel, they're not little Datsuns, man. They're
just dynamite.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I didn't let go of the wheel.
I don't think you did, but I like that race. I looked it up, and there's no racer aid, so yeah, you're going to spin out if you do it wrong, and that's the cool part of that race you were in is there's no electronic prevention of spin outs. You got to know how to race those things, and you did good.
Well, thank you, Ken. Yes, the traction control and things like that on modern cars is what he's talking about. Let's see.
What do you think the holiday, like Thanksgiving political discussions are like around the Judd table when Ashley
and Naomi and Winona.
I'm guessing the old school country stars have a slightly different view on things. I don't know.
Or are they just supposed to look like they do?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a ding dong. Oh, Toby Keith is here. Come on, Toby. Sit down. Well, even more.
He brought a can of whoop ass. That's so nice.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't think her and Dario are still.
They divorced in 2013.
Oh, 2013.
Well,
okay.
Good.
Well, chime in because that's. I was worried. But no, I didn't know. But I think they were. They also, it's not good with racers because what she. I can sort of tell what a guy's politics are by what he does. Uh-huh. And racers are just flat out, you build a better car, you drive a better car, you work at it, you prepare more, and somebody wins and somebody loses.
They're libertarians.
Yeah. And they're very like, just, hey, whoever gets up on that podium gets them up on that podium because they worked at it harder and because they had a better car because their car was better prepared.
But I felt it more, Adam.
Yeah, they don't care about good vibes from fifth place or anything. And whatever it takes, that's what they'll do to do that.
Caution flags, that's the government. That's the government saying, slow it down. Yeah. Restrict your plates, that's the government.
Yeah, I just, they will cheat. And they will do anything, and I just feel like their politics are different than probably what we just heard. That's just my...
You're probably right. You have some insight into this world.
I've hung around with a lot of those guys, and that's where they all seem to come down. All right, let's talk to David 42. You have a good solution for taking care of those crane flies.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. 42 Phoenix.
That's right. Gina, I love the sound effects, and Brian, I love your titties.
Oh, thank you.
I had an infestation of crane flies, and like Gina, I was taking the passive approach where I just let them be, and then finally they started, I guess, being too much and getting it on, and had quite the infestation. They're in my daughter's room. They were in front of my face when I was reading at night, you know, over the lights, so I got a shot back.
Good.
Ooh,
yeah. Good call.
Sucking them up.
Yeah. Very satisfying.
Super satisfying. The shop vac is super satisfying because, first off, it vacuums liquid. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys really experience the full satisfaction of vacuuming liquid, but it feels good.
My dad had a shop vac when I was younger.
Called Wet Dry.
I think it was his prized possession. He loved that thing. Yeah. He brought it up. That's how we cleaned the fireplace, everything.
It's kind of that never been a better time to be poor thing, which is... As a kid, the shop vac was a bridge too far for the Corollas financially.
Right.
I don't think we even knew somebody who had a shop vac, but if we did, we might be able to borrow a shop vac. Right. Like we could use for the weekend somebody else's shop vac. That was a pretty big ticket item, and you had to have rise to a certain level in our system in order to get hold of that shop vac.
My dad's had as much duct tape exposed as it did plastic tubing. Like that's right. It had been through the ringer.
But shop vacs are pretty ubiquitous now. Anyone can go to Home Depot, it's $29, and get a shop vac. And as a matter of fact, most people who own a home have a shop vac somewhere in their garage and or may even have a big one and a small one. I have, of course, multiple ones because of what I do.
This thing sounds fun.
It is awesome.
It's a super
vacuum. And it's a good way to get, and it has a big bore on it, too. So it's a good way to get up those crane flies. I like that.
Makes a nice sound, too, like a real satisfying suction sound.
Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of people were tweeting us, you might have seen it, these yellow light bulbs.
I saw that. On the other hand, Olga just went out with the spray and just went nuts. She just went to town. What I love about Olga is you tell her there's a problem or she experiences a problem and she just hops on it.
She'll solve it.
She's just gets to work. So she actually did it, and I think it helped. All right. Let me just take the last one. I'll do Baldwin. Yeah. Gary, ask Max Pata about me touching my wheel or not.
Yeah, he's over at the other shop grabbing the footage.
Oh, he's over at the other shop. Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Right. Hey, Zach, 26, Wisconsin.
Ace man, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Rich man, poor man. How about the assorted candies and chocolates?
Explain.
Like, the
middle class doesn't do that?
Got the individually wrapped Reese's peanut butter cups in with like candy corn and mints, and everything tastes atrocious. Mm-hmm. And then rich household, you got like the Ghirardellis and the Godivas.
No.
Godiva.
Yeah.
Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah. I don't know, Zach.
Lady Godiva.
I like to think I'm pretty flexible, my rich man, poor man.
Yeah.
And we've had some pretty good ones lately, like wearing suspenders and stuff like that.
Grass in the driveway.
Grass in between. Yeah, grass in the driveway, right.
I had one the other day. I wanted to know what you thought about it. Having or writing a manifesto.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Crazy man, genius man.
Unabomber. Yeah. And then
maybe Richard Branson might have a manifesto. Yeah. It wouldn't
Jerry
surprise
McGuire,
me.
I'm trying to.
Mission statement.
Yeah. Mission statement. Right.
Yeah, that's what Manson called it.
But I like
that. He's
on
the other end of the scale.
Yeah. All right, Zach.
A for effort.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You don't give out effort trophies, Brian.
I heard this guy on the radio today on CNN. Actually, somehow we stumbled into Ashley Judd, and this guy was, a Syrian refugee. And it kind of encapsulates what my whole thing is, which is, what's that? Oh, he's just Syrian. It's not a refugee. It's a Syrian guy.
Yeah, but he's a survivor of the chemical attacks in 2013.
Right. All right. So we'll just listen to him because my whole thing about whatever the outrage is or the protest is, it has to be sort of commensurate with what's going on. You can just go Trump or fill in the blank. You can just go, well, he's, let's see, he's xenophobic or something, and you can take to the streets. Or you can say he's homophobic or something, but I need a little more meat on the bone if we're going to go big, there was all this talk.
You need an inciting incident, to propel someone into
protest. There was a lot of talk a few weeks ago, and it all just sort of went away about anti-Semitic. Mm. Like there was an he and the cabinet and they were all anti-Semitic, and then there's nothing there. Mm. There's nothing to hang your hat on in terms of let's take to the streets or let's get the whatever. But this guy on CNN, he talked about some stuff you could hang your hat on.
Yeah, so just for a little context, it's Brooke Baldwin who's interviewing him, but it starts out with a clip of Hillary Clinton. Okay.
We cannot in one breath speak of protecting Syrian babies and in the next close America's doors to them.
Quickly, Qasem, how do you see that?
With all due respect,
with all due respect, I didn't see each and every person who was demonstrating after the travel ban. I didn't see you 3 days ago when people were gassed to death, when civilians were gassed to death. I didn't see you in 2013 when 1,400 people were gassed to death. I didn't see you raising your voice against President Obama's inaction in Syria that let us refugees, that made us refugees get kicked out of Syria. If you really care about refugees, if you really care about helping us, please help us stay in our country. We don't want to come to the United States. We want to stay in our country. We want to stay in our country. With all due respect, this is hypocrisy. If you really care, help us stay in our country. We don't want to become refugees. We want to stay in our country. Help us establish safe zones. Help us stay safe in our country. And if you just give me a few seconds just to tell President Trump once again, please, sir, what you did was amazing. What you did was a powerful message of hope.
Poor Brooke Baldwin. It's like, this didn't go anyway.
Please,
he's not supposed to go this direction.
This. Please help Syrians stay in their country. Please establish safe zones. Please,
all I'm saying is like, if you're going to gas people, go out and hit the streets, by all means. Well, be super consistent.
Right.
People get gassed, you hit the streets. Travel ban, hit the streets. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You know, we talk a lot on the show about, you know, a certain form of narcissism that things take on. And I think this is a great example. It's not happening on our border, in our country, in our backyard. So it's a little far to get outside.
It's not at my airport.
It's not here.
It's not
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But also, it's like you can't pick who you want to blame. You can't pick your protest by who you want to blame. You have to pick the actual account of what went on. So the Syrian, look, everyone hates Trump. Fine. So he did this thing. So we're going out in vast numbers against this. The Assad gas thing, we're not sure. We can't blame Trump. Not for gassing. Mm-hmm. Assad, it's been there. Not sure exactly what we were like with him, where Obama was with him. We're picking and choosing who, depending on who we think is behind whatever this is.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's what makes it hypocrisy. This guy just basically said, hey, people got gas in 2013.
Where was everybody?
Where was the outrage is what I'm saying.
And he said something that's so obvious, I can't believe people, including myself, don't think of it. It's not, bring them here. It's, we want to stay in our country. We don't want to be refugees. We don't want to come there.
Give them the choice. I'd love to stay home.
Yeah. I know. I it is. It's great. It's part of being an American. It's part of being this sort of quiet, we have a quiet racism and a quiet narcissism, which is like, you know, we travel to other countries and we're pissed off when the bellhop doesn't speak English because we're like, what the fuck? You know, this is bullshit.
Come on, Morocco.
Yeah, come on, Morocco, get your shit together. And we do that, or we can't find a McDonald's, or like, you know, we're very, everything should just be kind of us.
Right.
And, you know, it's based on bailing a few folks out of world wars and things of that nature. I mean, it's not like we do have a nice history of, you know, coming out number one. Right. It's right there on Evel Knievel's jumpsuit there, right next to the flag. We've all
flying
seen it.
Over a stack of buses.
But it gets to the point where we just decide that everybody in the world would like to move to Encino, California, and that's that. And like we don't even think, their family's there, their heritage there, their land is there. Yeah. Some people are very, very strong feelings about that, especially if you start working in their faith. And they don't want to pack up their non-belongings and bring them here to start new. They'd probably like it where they are wasn't war-torn. And so, yes, if we would go over there and do a little, flex a little muscle or get, as I've said it a million times, we are now, because we're in a global village, it is global, because there's nowhere on the planet that you couldn't get on a 13 and a half hour flight. Mm-hmm. It is now, it's not nations. There are no borders and nations and whatever. It's just one big group of people on one big orb now.
Unless United drags you off the plane.
Right.
But you can get there otherwise.
Yeah.
Want to get to that too.
Sorry.
I've just said it. Look, can we just get the nations, the sane nations? You know, like, oh, whoa, what do you mean by, you know who you are. the Frances, the Englands, the Germanys, the United States, the Canadas. Can we just get together and go, look, we're just going to have to decide what's acceptable and not what. Look, if a guy is putting mustard gas into his own citizens, we're just going to have to go ahead and call that one as unacceptable. And then we're going to have to, as the group of sane people on the block, sort of march over that guy's house and just go shut him down.
Yeah.
We just have to go do it. Like, this is the time around World War II. Look, it's 1939, it's 1940, and you got people going, look, we're not going to put everything on a boat and ship it overseas. Come on, that's their skirmish. Let them... I get it. They didn't hadn't invented a jet aircraft yet. They didn't have a propeller plane that could make it across the ocean. Like, I get it. There was no internet.
Yeah,
like,
a okay, wasn't barrier.
There that that was that. There was no pose. There was no threat posed to folks who lived in Seattle over World War II. But now that it's just global, and we're just going F it, and kind of it's kind of reminding me like. They used to make cars, and there's maybe a sprinkling of this, but not so much anymore. When they used to make cars, they'd go, look, we'll make the European edition. We'll make this edition, the one that can come to the United States. We'll make the California edition because that's going to have stricter air quality, you know, bigger. That's going to have a catalytic converter and a 5-mile bumper. And then somebody just sort of went like, well, let's just make the biggest, the cleanest, safest car.
Saw it everywhere.
And just kind of go worldwide with it. And, you know, England, you'll get the same one, or it'll be right-hand drive. You get in the United States and one Canada, and we'll just make one good, safe, clean car. I just like to do that with nations now. Like, everybody, come on, England. Come on, France. Come on, Canada. Let's go. This guy's, it's 2017. He's popped out the mustard gas. He's going on his own people with it. We just got to get in there. And we just got to start killing people. And that's it.
This conference of sane nations is going to be really awkward when Russia shows up uninvited. Hey, is this the conference of sane nations?
Everyone's partying in the back. Hi, no, we're hey, I'm sick. I was just doing something by myself tonight.
Invitation got lost in the... Email. These are really good at finding emails, but the email must have got lost.
Up, France?
Russia's been drinking. Oh, no.
Of course I've been drinking. I'm Russia.
All right. Sorry. All right. Let's... Max Pattis. We've got to see if I let go of my steering wheel or not when I spin out. And then we'll do some Baldywood.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to put a ton of... You didn't have to put too much... I let go of it. I did let go of my steering wheel. All right. Well, there you go.
What did you learn?
Learn to no longer let go of my steering wheel.
I guess that was the mistake.
I let nature take its course when I'm out on that track, man. Let divine wind blow me in the right direction, man. I don't try to steer my car, man. It's the same approach with my kids and their education.
Car steers you.
Hands off, baby.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a little, hold on. Let's do Baldywood first. Okay. I want to do a little Simply Safe. Entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors. Make your home a burglar's worst nightmare in under an hour. That's right. You can pre-program to work, and it's all ready to go out of the box. So you just plug it in. Get the base station going. It'll talk you through the whole process. That's right. That's right. It'll talk you through the process. The entire system is wireless. No need to drill holes or pull wires or do any of that dangerous stuff. Now, you get a month-to-month, no long-term lock-in contracts, no hidden fees, just $14.99 a month, 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch service. So, don't wait another day. Go to Simply Safe, two eyes in there, simplysafeadam.com. Get 10% off your home security system. That's simplysafeadam.com. Get your 10% off with simplysafeadam.com. All right, now a little Baldywood.
Hooray for Baldywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Baldywood!
Train Spotting 2. is in theaters now. It is directed by Danny Boyle, who has amassed quite the eclectic career ever since he came out with... well, Trainspotting was his second film. You guys ever see Shallow Grave?
No, never heard of it.
Well, Shallow Grave's a good... Listen, everyone listening, that's a $3 rental on like iTunes and Amazon. That is well worth your time. That's a sort of very gritty, very... it might have been Hugh McGregor's first movie. It's about a bunch of roommates who they invite someone else to live with them, like a third person. He dies, but he leaves a whole bunch of money. And like now it's like, oh, what do we do with the body? What do we do with the money? It's very Coen Brothers-esque from back in the day. You guys would like it.
What year?
94.
All right. Kind of sounds familiar. All right.
Best known as being the pre-Trainspotting Danny Boyle movie. So Trainspotting, 1996.
Well, it says from the director. Oh, they put it on there later.
The DVD release.
Okay,
All right. Danny Boyle, of course, 28 Days Later, Slumdog Millionaire, 127 Hours, and of course, Trainspotting. Everyone's back for this one. Ewan McGregor's back, who you recently had on Carcass, right?
Yeah, I think I had him for Take a Knee, I think is what it had for. Yeah.
He was talking about a car thing.
He's so dreamy.
He's very dreamy. He plays Mark Renton, Robert Carlyle. All these guys have gone on to be big stars ever since. They were kind of unknowns in Trainspotting. Robert Carlyle was a Bond villain at one point. Johnny Lee Miller, he's in a TV show, Bones or...
Yeah.
No, Sherlock Holmes.
Blue Bones.
Now Holmes.
Blue Balls.
Sherlock and whatever that stupid show is, man.
He's Scorpion Blue Balls.
Ewan Bremner. Even Kelly MacDonald was back. She was the wife in No Country for Old Men.
Prison Break Scorpion Blue Balls.
Sorry, one of those iterations. Right. So when a sequel comes out to a movie this far after the fact, you have sort of one of two avenues. You can go sort of Blues Brothers 2000, like, why does this exist? Mm-hmm. Let's pretend this never happened. Let's never speak of this again. Or you can kind of go Before Sunrise, you know, or Before Sunset,
oh,
Before Sunrise.
Ethan
Hawke and Julie Delpy. And that was like, oh, these characters are back in our lives. Now we can see what happened after, you know,
they're aware of the time that's passed.
Yeah, and it's a welcome sort of like, oh, welcome back into my lives, everyone. So Trainspotting. Did you guys see Trainspotting?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. It's hard to overstate how important Trainspotting was in a young balding Brian's life. I had the VHS. I had the DVD after. I still own the DVD. I had the poster above my dorm room bed for all throughout college. Soundtrack. I mean, I remember I bought the soundtrack at the Tower Records on El Camino Boulevard in San Mateo. Like, I remember I loved that movie and I loved everything about with it because it was such a, to me, breath of fresh air. Like, this is so different. It's independent cinema was really kind of coming up. It made Danny Boyle a huge star. Ewan McGregor a huge star. And now we have Trainspotting 2. It picks up right where it left off. Trainspotting ended with Ewan McGregor double-crossing his mates. He stole like 2,000 pounds from them or something like that, 10,000 pounds, after they did a big drug deal. He snuck off in the middle of the night and leaving a little bit for Spud in a locker, but he double-crossed his mates, went off to start a new life, and they were all left holding the empty bag. Cops show up. Then the movie ends. You don't know what happens. Did Baby go to jail? Did Sick Boy go back on drugs? Did Mark Renton start a new life? Like, this picks up 20 years later. Mark Renton shows up again. They haven't seen him in 20 years. Shows up, and now he's back in their lives. You definitely need to see the first one. This is not a movie you can jump in and see without seeing the first one. It's not Mad Max. Like, this new Mad Max movie, you can enjoy that without really knowing the Mad
Max
mythology.
Nothing
that's just a standalone, really good movie.
Yep.
I really enjoyed this. But you very much need to at least be familiar with the first one, if not like the first one. So that's a prerequisite right there. So I don't know if you guys remember this on the first one. It was sort of an iconic thing that took on a life of its own. Ewan McGregor did this whole choose life thing, choose life. It was a sort of ethos, like his almost his manifesto, actually. It was kind of a sly look at life in the 1990s and, in Scotland. And he does an updated version. I want to play the clip. It's a little bit long, but I think you guys are going to like it because fans of the show will certainly agree. There's something great about a very perfectly executed rant, and this counts as a this is about 2 minutes long, but I promise
hold on thing. This is first or second
this is his updated version of that famous sort of like choose life
updated version.
Here's
Sorry.
Everything that sucks about life.
Will we be able to understand it?
I think so. Okay. That was the big thing about the first one was those thick Scottish brogues. People have problems with it. And this movie kind of plays with that because early on there's like subtitles on the screen and they go away because the director's like kind of winking at you. But here's an older, more wiser Ewan McGregor giving an updated speech that basically kind of details what sucks about life today.
So I might say, for example...
Pause. The audio sucks. I really wanted to find this clip. The only one I could find is someone recording a bootleg version, so apologies for the bad audio, but...
Oh,
I think
from in a theater.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
Choose... designer lingerie. in the vain hope of kicking some life back into a dead relationship. Choose handbags. Choose high-heeled shoes, cashmere and silk to make yourself feel what passes for happy. Choose an iPhone made in China by a woman who jumped out of a window and stick it in the pocket of your jacket fresh from a South Asian fire trap. Choose Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram and a thousand other ways to spew your bile across people you've never met. Choose updating your profile. Tell the world what you had for breakfast and hope that someone somewhere cares. Choose looking up old flames, desperate to believe that you don't look as bad as they do. Choose live blogging from your first wank to your last breath. Human interaction reduced to nothing more than data. Choose 10 things you never knew about celebrities who'd had surgery. Choose screaming about abortion. Choose rape jokes, slut-shaming, revenge porn, and an endless tide of depressing misogyny. Choose 9/11 never happened, and if it did, it was the Jews. Choose a zero-hour contract and a two-hour journey to work, and choose the same for your kids, only worse, and maybe tell yourself it's better that they never happened. And then sit back and smother the pain with an unknown dose of an unknown drug made in somebody's fucking kitchen. Choose unfulfilled promise and wishing you'd done it all differently. Choose never learning from your own mistakes. Choose watching history repeat itself. Choose the slow reconciliation towards what you can get rather than what you always hoped for. Settle for less and keep a brave face on it. Choose disappointment and choose losing the ones you loved, and as they fall from view, a piece of you dies with them until you can see that one day in the future, piece by piece, they will all be gone and there'll be nothing left of you to call alive or dead. Choose your future, Veronica. Choose life.
So...
Hold on. Ashley Judd's rant was much more animated, much more insane than that was.
It really was.
It really was. Like
he was
speaking
restrained.
To 500,000 people at the mall. But that being said.
So that's very indicative of the movie. I find that funny, but I also find it kind of hollowly funny. Like, it's not laugh out loud. Like, that's hilarious. Right. That's a great monologue. That's like, wow, that is darkly kind of humorous. Yeah. So if that's your thing, I love this movie. It's bursting with life, ironically. It's funny. It's sad. It's touching. And I loved having these characters back in my life. So maybe I'm not indicative of every single person that's going to see this movie, but if you have any fondness for the original, this will deliver the goods.
Nice.
Yeah. I liked it.
Hooray for Bollywood!
Well, since the first one is 20 years... how old's the first one now?
It's 1996, yeah. So 20 years last year.
96. Mm-hmm. Okay, so over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So... maybe you should go look at the first one, then go see this.
I would recommend the first one's one of my all-time favorite movies. I gave it 5 stars on my Netflix rating, so I would highly recommend that.
Were you a Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels guy?
I was. I enjoyed it. No, I would
but
not.
But no, it's no Train Spotting for you.
Please.
Okay.
How dare you? I did like that movie, though.
Wait a minute. Then where did the other one come in?
Snatch.
Snatch.
I like Snatch better.
I like Snatch better, too.
I like Snatch better than Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
All right. Look up some Hank Azaria characters from The Simpsons, because I got a Pooh, Chief Wiggum, comic book guy I like, and then Carl Carlson, who I don't
Carl.
Know.
Carl.
Black guy.
Carl,
black
the bromance.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lenny and Carl. I'm going to point out the handful of times when the last name makes it confusing.
Lenny and Carl, it's easier than right. Carl Carlson.
I never even knew his last name was Carlson.
Hank Azaria voices my favorite Simpsons character, Mo Sizlak.
No. The bartender. Oh, yeah, we love Mo.
Love Mo.
Yeah.
Why can't I find Amanda Hug and Kiss? Maybe your standards are too high.
I love Mo.
Oh, he ain't pretty no more. After the monkey gets knifed on the boat.
Oh, Dr. Hibbert. Oh, yeah. Nick Riviera.
Oh, hey, everybody.
I love that one. Okay. All right.
We can go all day.
All right. Some guy got removed. I was just driving my car listening to the radio, and there was listening to the news, and some guy got pulled out of an airplane. And it's not the usual going nuts high on bath salts. It was more of the flight was overloaded. Mm-hmm. I've had this situation before that they overbook. You know, look.
Every airline overbooks.
They try to coax you off with gifts and prizes.
Can I just tell everybody? Like, they say, people come to me all the time, they go like, You know, I go to Home Depot. I can't even find a guy who works there. I got to walk up and down, looking, and I find a guy, and he's on his break. And it's like, that's why a sheet of plywood is $19 at Home Depot. If you'd like to go up the street to the stock lumber and pay $39 for the same sheet of thing, you will get a journeyman carpenter with some salt and pepper in his mustache who will go out to and load your truck up. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to pay that guy. You want you want plumbing fittings that are 49 cents. Like, you want to live in this world where everything is free, and then you want Pops Larson, who's going to be piggybacked onto Bob Vila, to drop out of the ceiling like Tom Cruise missions when you have a goddamn question in the aisle? That's not how the math works. The way the math works is we pay a bunch of guys $9 an hour who don't know shit, and we hire less of them than we need, and they go on their lunch break, and you're free to wander up and down the aisle. And this is why I tell people, if you're going to buy 20 sheets of Struck One CDX half-inch ply, go to Home Depot. But if you're just going to buy the coupler, go to the corner store and save yourself 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because in that case, the difference is 49 cents versus $1.19, but versus a half hour you walking around. So do that. But don't come to me with the, hey, that guy didn't even know. He didn't know a sweep from an LB. Mm-hmm. And he called himself, he was in the electrician's department. It's like, you can't get stuff for free and complain. Yeah. You can't get flights for $69 from here to Chicago and then explain you didn't have enough knee room, or the thing took off 20 minutes later. There was a crying baby. It was crowded, you know, or whatever. Oh, the food sucked. You know, it's like, yeah, you're flying.
Your ticket was pretty much free.
You're getting prices, which is you getting your ass from LA to Atlanta for $89. Like, you got to understand what that means in today's day and age of, or what it translated into 40 years ago, what it would cost when people made minimum wage was $1.28, and how much money it cost to get to Atlanta back then. Like, so what you have to put up with is these measures, the reason they can offer these flights, and then they go, well, the second piece of luggage they wanted to charge for. They wait, because they
that's how they make up the fact.
They're not charging for the goddamn tickets. You're going to Phoenix for $31, people. That's why they have to charge you for the second bag.
Everything becomes a la carte at that point.
Yes. And so,
even the beatings.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, I've been on the flight where they've just went, look, the plane's overweight. And some luggage is going to have to go, and that luggage that's going to go is going to be in the next flight behind you, but Bob will do our best. And I said, and then they said, all right, who wants to volunteer to take their luggage? We'll pull it out of the belly of the plane. This is, you know, puddle jumper, me and Dr. Mm-hmm. Drew back in the day, 40 people on the plane. And of course, no one raised their hand. Sure. And then it just was like, okay, look, I'm just going to go down and open the hatch at the bottom and go pull out a piece of luggage. And that'll be the piece of luggage I pull out. And everyone's like, well, I guess that's the deal we made for our $49 flight. And I get it. And I get that nobody wants to get off a plane. And I know that nobody wants to get bumped. And I know that no one wants to pay for luggage or whatever. But we've created a world where flying is almost free. And this is now part of what goes along with that world.
Everything you've described should be understood by everyone who buys a plane ticket. But this is a potential outcome.
Right. Hopefully
it never happens in your lifetime, but this could happen.
What goes on, you know,
not the dragging off the planes, what you've described.
Now they said, I guess, look, we're overbooked. Mm-hmm. We overbooked. We tried to entice people with, gift certificates to round table pizza. No one would go for it. So now who's going to volunteer to get off this flight? And when nobody volunteered to get off this flight, I think they just went, eeny, meeny, miny,
they
mo.
They said they had a computer-generated selector.
That was my question.
Oh, they did.
That's one of the news stories.
Well, that's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then you just go. You get off the flight. You go into the Chili's. You have a few Bloody Marys, and you pray the plane crashes. You pray. You get on your knees, and you pray.
The one time I'm going to ask for this.
Right. So they do the digital selector.
Lord, I don't ask for much.
And that's just it. That's just it. And now that's that. And I guess they just pulled the dude off. But it was the sound that the dude was making that I just heard it on the radio. Can we hear it, Gary? Sorry.
It's upsetting.
I was trying to go home. Can't they rent a car for the pilots and have them drive?
No!
No! No! Oh my God!
Oh my God!
This is an adult.
Oh my God!
It's an adult man.
No!
My God!
What are you doing?
Hold on a second. What we're doing is the plane's overweight, or it's overbooked, or it's over something, and there's 122 people on this flight or whatever it is, and we have to go. So since nobody's going to want to get out, look, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
This person should be compensated with, you know, he should get a round trip to Maui. But whatever, there's 100 people on this flight, and we got to push off, and we screwed up. So what we're going to do is we're going to run this thing through a random picker, and it's going to pick a random seat. Out of the 100, I don't know, Gary, what the plane hold? I don't know what it was, 727, whatever it was. But out of the 111 people on here, it's going to pick one. And when it does, I'm sorry, that individual is going to have to get up and leave. Well, at that point, that guy has to get up and leave. You know what he's allowed to do? He is allowed to stand up and go to the guy, anyone within the sound of his voice that goes, I got $300 cash. Anyone to swap out right now? I'll put it in your pocket.
Yep.
I'm a doctor. I have to have patience. Right. But when the security goes, come with me, at that point, you have to stand up and walk out. You can plead your case somewhere else. What are they doing? Oh, my God, what are they doing? Well, they have a world-class pussy on their hand, and they're dragging him off because he's not going voluntarily.
Yeah, I feel a tremendous amount of sympathy for this guy, but what you said is correct, especially when a captain of a plane orders you to do something, let alone just get off the plane. You have to do it. But, that's the law. You have to do it.
I agree, but that being said, these dudes dragging this guy off the plane look like they were hired from like a nightclub on Sunset just to start bouncing people. They don't look like they're going about this with any decorum whatsoever.
Well, whatever it is, douche, stand up and walk off the fucking plane.
Yeah, when the police order you off, you have to go. Whether they're right or wrong, they're ordering you to get off.
I just got
to
hear the sound that this guy was making one more time. And what the fuck is going on with dudes? What's going on with dudes? I know everyone's a pussy, so they're like, what do you mean what's going on with dudes? We squeal like stuck pigs being cornholed. Adult males, like 50-year-old dudes in public. Get the fuck off the plane, you pussy, and go stand in the tower. Oh, I have places to be. Like, everybody has some place. I had a $50,000 gig that I gave the money back to. $50,000 for one night because they took my backpack and they hid it from me, from behind me.
$50,000 gig.
Hey, I was going to say shake your moneymaker, but I don't want you to come up and shake me. Hey, stage five. Two shows in casino. Hey, buddy. All right. Casinos pay well, and it was $50,000, and it was a done deal. And Mike August got on the plane, and they took my backpack, and the cops took it. And they go, all right, you're supposed to put, yeah, it was sitting behind me
while we're
at the bar. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows at Burbank, you face the wall.
Right.
You face the wall of tea. They had, you know, Final Four. We're all staring at thing. The backpack was sitting behind me. Mm-hmm. The person slid up behind me, took the backpack, and then went out the same direction. They didn't walk past me. They didn't come to the front and go, excuse me, is this somebody's here? Or is there anybody? Or they didn't tap me on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. They came behind, took the backpack, and left the airport. And left the goddamn airport. And when they did, by the time I was able to find the sheriff substation where the thing was, the plane left. Oh. And there were no other flights. Mm. So Mike August was there. I was not there. And guess who didn't get a goddamn penny?
August gave a tight 90-minute set. How about that toilet paper, you guys?
Jesus Christ. Oh, Mike August is here?
Oh, wow.
All right. I just even lost $50,000. You know what I did? I got my goddamn car and I drove home. I didn't say a word to anybody.
But the whole time in the car, were you going,
No. I realized whatever had been done had been done. It was done. I was not happy about it, but it had been done.
Are we 100? Everyone's going to know the answer to this maybe by the time people hear this tomorrow. Do we know for a fact that this guy is a doctor and is not, in fact, have some mental something going on?
He claims he's a doctor. He's 69 years old.
I've seen every video that goes along with this, and he doesn't strike me as the doctorial type.
Would you want him to be your doctor?
Well, not bleeding from the face.
Mike August,
Did I have my backpack stolen from me by security at the Burbank Airport, and did I lose $50,000?
Kidnapped. What? Kidnapped, not stolen.
Kidnapped.
Yeah, kidnapped. Ransom. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, kidnapped implies they'll give it back to you at some point.
Set the backpack down behind us. The guy came in behind us and took it out of the airport. Mike got on the plane. I went to go get the backpack. And $50,000 later, Mike was in Sacramento.
Did you have to spend the night in Sacramento?
So much fun in the lobby of that casino that evening.
I was going to say, did you take the flight home?
It's my honeymoon. We came here to see the show. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Sell any merch?
All right. Now, did the guy need...
It was a total loss.
Mike, was I making a lot of squealing noises after I found out about this, or did I just go about my way trying to get my backpack back?
That was the worst part of it. You were thrilled. I was on my way to Sacramento, and you were going home to watch your goddamn movies.
Yeah. All right. What are you doing here? Is there some food been left behind or something?
Jury duty.
Really?
Ooh.
Wow.
Your number came
just
up.
Just got released.
Nice.
Today.
All right.
Are they guilty?
All right.
I hope so.
Hank Azaria is going to be on the phone in a second. So
he also has jury duty.
63 people seats on the plane. So I guess it was full up. I just want to hear the noise this guy's making one more time.
Can't they rent a car for the pilots and have them drive?
No!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God.
All right, hold on a second. Stop. All the people in life that need to, like, comment. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Shut up, whore. Shut up, you fat whore. Please, let the guys do their job. And nobody has more context than you do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We heard you the first time. Shut the fuck up. Do we not know what's going on here? Mm. Do you have to comment out loud about everything?
It's, are you upset with the fact they're, like, exacerbating a situation? Like, it's already, the tensions are already, obviously someone's being physically dragged off a plane. That's unusual, to say the least.
I get it. I wouldn't want to be, I don't want to be anywhere near the bitch who's just yelling, oh my God, oh my God. And also the guys are trying to do their job. Let them do their job. Mm-hmm. They don't need you commenting on it. You know full well what's happening. Somebody needs to be removed. His number literally came up. He's refused to leave the plane, and now we physically must remove him from this plane by dragging his saggy ass down the aisle. You have to sit there like, oh my God, oh my God, who knows better than you, oh my God, bitch, what's going on here? You didn't just stumble into the plane and see an old guy being dragged across the ground.
You saw the whole thing. You're privy to details we don't know.
This has been going on for 40 minutes. In your world, it's been 40 minutes of, okay, who likes chocolate-covered macadamia nuts? Nobody? The duty-free shop has a barrel of them, and your name is on it. If you... No? Nobody?
You have to up your offer if you're going to...
Okay, we not only fly to Portland...
Portland, Maine, or Portland, Oregon? That's a
Oregon.
Big difference.
We have routes. I mean, there's a stop, but we go to Portland.
It's not direct.
Who's here?
I like lighthouses.
Has anyone been to Houston during the springtime?
It's pretty muggy, actually.
Humid.
Did I say spring? I said winter.
It actually gets pretty cold.
Okay. Yeah, we have to remove somebody from this goddamn plane. Yes.
I have a report here saying that the man was eventually let back on the flight.
Yes, he was. Bloody.
Yes, bleeding. How awkward would that flight be?
All right, hold on a second. Hank Azaria is on the phone. Hank?
Yo.
Thanks for calling in. Sorry. We're trying to figure out what happened with that guy on the airplane and how he got back on. Brockmeyer, the name of the new show, Wednesdays, 10 o'clock on IFC. Episode 3 is tomorrow night. I watched episode 1. Really funny premise, really funny show. Hank, well, shall I talk about it? Hank, why don't you talk about the premise, please?
All right, I will. I'm uniquely qualified to talk about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Brockmeyer is the name of a baseball announcer, Jim Brockmeyer. He's one of these kind of golden-throated guys who talks the way I'm talking right now, who kind of the voice that I, the generic baseball announcer voice that I listened to growing up, especially in the 70s. And I wondered, do these guys always sound like this, not just on the air, where they seem to be able to say anything they want as long as they give the cow death. But when they're home, with their arguing with their girlfriends or having sex with their wives, they still talk like this. And that became one of the basic comic premises of the show. Then we imagined, what if this guy completely flipped out on the air And we did a short, It's Funny or Die, that sort of chronicled that about 8 years ago. And that became the basis of the show, is a guy like that who disgraces himself on the air, saying wildly inappropriate stuff after he walks in on his wife having sex, actually having an orgy.
Yeah, six guys, and, if I recall. Her in the middle. And there was a strap-on involved. Yeah.
She was wearing a strap-on and plowing their neighbor, Bob Greenwald. And folks, I do mean right in the ass, as Johnson swings and misses at a breaking ball 0-1. That kind of thing. So, and then, you know, it picks up with him. You see that meltdown, and then, you know, 10 years later, he's trying to get back in baseball. Much like in the tradition of, like, Walter Matthau and Bad News Bears, or Slapshot, of those great kind of sports movies of the 70s where the heroes try to redeem themselves with through love of their sport at the bottom of the barrel. You know, and they're often alcoholic, much like Jim Brockmeyer. He tries to get back in baseball, 10 years later, but not realizing that he's Winnebago man now. He thinks everybody's just forgotten, but he's gone viral. He doesn't know that he's, you know, a meme now, basically, which is, you know, part two of his nervous breakdown.
I got a Hank Azaria question for you, so this is a fine coincidence. Most of the guys I've ever worked with in improvisational comedy who do these amazing characters and have just this huge repertoire of characters are very quiet and sort of wallflower-y when they're not being that. Like, if you ever, I don't know Mike Myers well, or guys like Sacha Baron Cohen, guys like that, their resting self is not that much. And I always had the thought that Artie Lang's Artie Lang is Artie Lang, you know what I mean? But he can't do Moe or Apu or Chief Wiggum. He's Artie Lang.
Yeah.
But what about you, Hank? Because you do seem to have a strong sort of standing personality or a well-carved out personality of your own, where some of these other guys, like even like Jim Carrey and stuff, like I don't feel like I get who they are just as regular dudes.
Well, do you mean like personally or professionally or both?
Kind of both. Like my thought is, in order to be so good at jumping from character to character, you almost have to be in neutral.
Mm. Like turn off.
Yeah, that's true. That actually is true. I relate to that very much. You know, Peter Sellers used to talk about it. He called it imposter syndrome. He didn't feel like he was alive, even, unless he was being Clouseau or something. He felt like he was profoundly boring.
Right, and there's
himself.
Yeah, and then there's a kind of a weird other extreme, which is sort of your Chris Farley extreme, where you have to actually become more of you, the version of you that you think everyone wants to see at the party. But and has it changed over the years for you, Hank? Or have you settled in to
it,
you?
It has. I mean, basically, I'm a mimic at heart. Was growing up and as a teenager. Became an actor because I wanted to be anybody but myself, much like you're describing. I felt, you know, more comfortable doing crazy voices or characters or mimicking things than I did as myself. Had to, in my 20s in acting class, learn to be more myself, discovered that, you know, like if you want to be a good actor, you actually have to reveal yourself to people, not the opposite, which I hated. But learned to do, and honestly, only feel like in the last really 5 years. So I'm about to be 53. Only feel like in the last 5 years, I'm like comfortable and feel like I have fluidity, just kind of being myself on camera, and you know, like for example, the role I do on Ray Donovan, like that's just pretty much close to me, even though the guy's pretty twisted psychologically, but his manner is pretty close to mine, and I only feel comfortable doing that like lately.
Do you feel I feel like the mimic gene is just right up there with there's a certain percentage of the population that can take their tongue and taco it, and then there's me. I can't do it.
Really?
I can't do it. And it's confusing to the people who can, but if you can't, you just can't. And if you can, you just do it in your sleep. And like my wife is she's not a comedian, she just mimics. She has like the ear for it. She can mimic, you know, folks around the house kind of thing. Was that? And then I guess you have that God-given talent and you mix that with the I want to lose myself. And now you have a juggernaut of mimicry. Is that correct, Hank?
It's pretty accurate. And, you know, that's very insightful because that's how I describe it to people. They ask, how do you do that? How do you mimic? I'm like, you can either do it or you can't. It's exactly like tacoing your tongue or like of cilantro or not. It's just sort of how you're born. And then, you know, I was fortunate enough to then get a job on The Simpsons when I was 23 where then, you know, I had like the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours thing take over where I had an affinity for that. And then I had to do it every week, you know, for my entire life. So you definitely develop it.
Were you looking at pictures of Chief Wiggum and coming up with the voice? Because he looks like he sounds, or were they hearing you and drawing your voice?
It's different for different characters. I think in that case, it was the latter. I did the voice first, and then they drew it, I think, because we recorded that like a year before it even came out.
And that voice changed a lot over the years, too, over the first couple of years, the Wiggum specifically.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. And the way he originally started was a David Brinkley impression, believe it or not. It was kind of slow and like this, sort of talk like this. And they felt it was too slow. They're like, Sam Simon, the late, great Sam Simon, was like, can you pace that up because it's too slow? And for some reason in my brain, when I sped up David Brinkley, it turned into Chief Wiggum. And then I realized, well, this is just basically a bad Edward G. Robinson. This is like Mel Blanc's bad impression of Edward G. Robinson, basically.
I love, Hank, I'd be curious. Brian has a question, too. I'd be curious, some of my favorite Simpsons episodes, because it's such a great show, and I love it so much. And I love talking, and you know it's a good show because whenever I talk about favorite episodes, it's not everyone has a different episode. Sure. But I love Homer steals Cable, and I don't know why I love that, because everything is in that episode. Mm-hmm. There's like a moral lesson. Yep. There's full arc. There's just a ton of funny lines. Yep. I love when Homer wanted to become morbidly obese.
Oh, that's what I was just thinking of.
So he could get out, should get on disability.
You have to do the wipe test on the paper.
Yeah,
yeah, it turns clear. One of my favorites, too. I love that with the moo-moo. I love that one.
I love the vast waistband, the place that have academic and judicial robes. Like, they're selling stuff to fat guy. I'm washing my fat guy hat. He had his, like, Dom DeLuise hat. I love, and it's not even called Rancho Relaxo, but the one where Marge
goes to the spa. Or
she went to Rancho Relaxo. Relaxo and Barney and Homer were left behind. Some of my favorites. But Hank, yours, what ones that stand out for you?
My favorite episode, the one that made me laugh the most anyway, was Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Sideshow Bob?
Just Bob with those rakes. Bob and the rakes just really had me.
Everyone turns into a rake.
Right. Stepping into the rake.
Yeah.
You had a question, Brian?
Yeah, Hank, speaking of characters, do you ever go to your agent, like, every once in a while, once every 5-6 years, say, just find me a role where there's no characters, where I'm just playing myself straight? Because I was looking at your credits, it reminded me that you were great in Run, Fat Boy, Run, a really good little movie that people should see with Simon Pegg, and you play, you're kind of the jerk, you're a bit of the heavy in the movie, but you're just you. For lack of a better, what I mean is you're not a character, you're not, you know, a caricature or an accent or anything, you're just Hank Azaria doing a jerk. Do you ask your agent to, like, look for roles like that once in a while, just to have a break?
No, because they can't. Like, what can you actually? I mean, I can't. You can ask, but it's like saying, "Hey, can I have $1 million?" You know, it's like the old Steve Martin joke: "How to be a millionaire? First, get $1 million. Next." I mean, it's like you can't, like, call up roles. You just sort of take what the defense gives you. To use a sports term, and you know, through the years, I've gotten roles where I'm not particularly playing character. But this is what I was just saying earlier. It's really only recently that I feel comfortable doing that. I swear. Like, I've always, like, in that movie, I've always been aware of, like, that Peter Sellers thing. I'm like, oh, I'm not enough. I should be doing a funny voice. I should be doing something weirder than I'm doing. It's only, like, with this Ray Donovan thing that I feel, like, comfortable and I have something to say doing that.
Brockmeyer, by the way, Wednesdays, 10 o'clock, IFC. So, Hank, what do you like doing? Because I do feel like you're a private person who doesn't act like a private person, but I feel like you're a private person who maybe is accessible or something. But is there things you're into, causes you're into, woodworking, sailing, what have you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a huge sports fan, and I love watching sports, particularly New York sports. I'm a Mets, Jets, Knicks guy.
Oof.
And I know it's rough. Mets are okay now.
Yeah.
The other two, not so good. I play poker. I'm a genuine student of the game. I enjoy playing poker. My son is 8. I love being a family man, father guy. And that's really it. And I have a couple of calls. I education is really important to me. I started a nonprofit education in LA like 10 years ago. And I'm pretty active with that. And then that's about show business and that pretty much fills up my time.
That's a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, that's enough. Yeah. I'm just, I'm always just curious because I feel like actors and actresses either have nothing or everything. They're not kind of in-betweeners. Oh. There's some people that just have nothing, but all I do is perform or act or whatever. And that's my life. And then there's other ones who do everything, but. Or they do act and whatever, but as soon as they stop, they're Ewan McGregor's
like
on a motor.
Martin.
He's on a motorcycle riding 25,000 right. miles across different continents.
Hank, Adam has a question. He's too embarrassed to ask. Do you still talk to Ashley Judd? And is she going insane?
I do not. I think the last words I said to Ashley Judd were on the set of Heat, whatever it was, 32 years ago. I don't think I've even ever run into her since then.
You can amuse yourself by watching some of her speeches on YouTube. We were examining
her. Has she been going cuckoo lately?
She's outspoken.
There's a quiet little secret, and I don't know if it's even a secret, but I notice guys, as they get older, they just get mellower. Mm. They had a lot of testosterone. Mm-hmm. Testosterone makes you want to fight and fuck and like punch cops and like break
fuck cops.
You want to find out like who your
Hank,
girlfriend's.
Answer is Chief Wiggum.
Chief Wiggum.
I was tested. I have the lowest testosterone level of any policeman in the country.
Well, if they'd start...
Don't go by me.
If they'd start putting testosterone in those maple bars, maybe you could catch up. But I mean, and I know you're a little bit overweight, Chief. I mean, probably just 10, 15 pounds, maybe. But Dr. Drew says you have higher circulating levels of estrogen when you're overweight, Chief. So maybe you want to lose a couple of pounds.
Well, yeah, it would also explain the bra that I have to wear.
Well, yeah, but you got to keep your gun somewhere, right?
That's true.
That's what I tell the fellas anyway. So.
go undercover.
The guys tend to mellow out as the testosterone starts to leave their body, and the women kick it up a notch.
I can't wait.
They start kicking it up a notch, and that's why... All of my friends have been married for a long time. The dudes are super mellow. They weren't when they were 24.
Right.
And the chicks wives are starting. The wives have been weaponized. Hank, does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. I mean, but, there are exceptions. I mean, I know plenty of guys who are steadily going nuttier.
Yeah, but Pete Berg aside.
That's like the old saying, like, men are dumb, but women are crazy. And it's an oversimplification, but it's kind of true.
George Carlin.
Thank you.
I think that also to be fair, I don't know that you can go by actresses. I mean, one of the roughest things I think that any human being can go through is to be a gorgeous, pretty it girl, in Hollywood, and then, have to age out of that gracefully somehow. It's not easy.
Listen, I've really been kind of studying this. And I've been thinking about my buddy Ray, who had 30 pounds of muscle on everyone he knew for his entire life, and he never worked very hard at anything, and still won all the arm wrestling championships and won all the bench press championships, but never had to go out and get some kind of thing. And later on in life, is his metabolism slowed down a little?
That skill set of that
It didn't serve him well because he wasn't the scrawny kid who had to out-hustle everybody. Mm-hmm. He was the king of the hill without having to work at it.
Right. Still has nice six-pack.
Yeah, that's like guys who were star athletes in high school.
That's exactly what I mean.
More often than not, it's a curse. Really, that's when you peaked, huh?
Yeah. Mm,
life has got some bad surprises in store for you.
Well, we were seeing how you love sports. Like, we were just talking. I was talking to my friend who just went to like a symposium with a teammate of Jerry Rice. Mm. And he said Jerry Rice was the first guy in and the last guy out. And every time they were just running these sort of warm-ups, they threw a 7-yard slant. He'd turn up and go 80 yards to the end zone when everyone else would just throw it
back.
Break
it off after, yeah.
Break it off.
10 yards. Yeah.
5 yards, break it off and throw it back. He'd turn it up and go all the way in. He never stopped. And I think it's because he felt like he didn't have the God-given speed or the God-given talent or the God-given anything. And then we talked last week to Randy Moss. Imagine if Randy Moss, with that vertical and with that ability and that foot speed, just took the Jerry Rice approach.
The records would still stand.
Right.
There are so many examples of this, guys, who... You know, like Jordan, same thing. Michael Jordan changed his game midway through his career because he had to, because he could no longer physically do what he could do when he was young. So he just kept adjusting.
Right.
Same with Larry Bird.
And Jordan famously didn't make his like high school junior varsity team or whatever. Now, Randy Moss, I will bet you, could dunk on a 10-foot hoop when he was 12 and a half.
Probably, yeah.
And so why should he work?
Yeah.
Why should he show up early and stay late? He's dunking on guys in the seventh grade, you know?
But, you know, well, I would, my argument to that would be that, you know, on the other hand, recognizing you have so much God-given ability, you know, could also spur you on to say, you know what, I need to do right by this. Like, at least my work ethic should match what I've been handed, and certain guys do that. Guys like LeBron, certain pitchers, right, who adjust how they throw, and they no longer can throw 98 miles an hour and figure out other ways to get people out. And there are subtler versions of it. Like, I'm a huge Mets fan. I'm watching Jacob DeGrom do that. He's a pretty young guy still, but as his fastball fades a little, he's figuring out ways to get guys out. James Harden did it this year. He adjusted his game.
Well,
you
that's,
know.
I mean... The great, when you get great is, you know, look, when you got the overachieving slow white free safety, who's all hustle, he's not all pro, he's overachieving. Mm-hmm. And then when you have the guy with the God-given, but he misses a lot of practices, it's when you combine those two that you get LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Or that Jordan, that crazy work ethic, crazy competitiveness, and then a ton of God-given talent. Hey, then real quick... I was watching 60 Minutes the other night. They had the Japanese phenom, the 22-year-old guy. Guy hits 450-foot dingers and throws 101 or 2 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Says he wants to pitch and bat and is coming stateside. What are your thoughts on that, Hank Azaria?
You know, this is news to me. I haven't heard of this guy. That's very exciting. That's
Brockmeyer
amazing.
Got, better get on name? This. Yeah. Yeah, Brockmeyer better do his research.
Yeah, he's playing in Japan. He's in the starting lineup as a hitter. He hits with power, and he's the best pitcher in the league. And he can throw over 100 miles an hour. And his thing is, I'll come and play in the United States, but I have to play on a team that's going to let me hit and pitch.
Wow. So is it national?
That's the National League.
Right.
Well, technically.
Unless he wants to DH the days that he's not pitching in the American League.
He could play in the American League.
My prediction would be that a guy like that in the major leagues can't really sustain that. I mean, there's guys who obviously can do that, like Bumgarner can hit like crazy. So can Syndergaard, but you just can't. You got to pick one or the other. I mean, there's no way to really excel at both. I don't think. I'd be amazed if this guy could
really
sustain
watch
that.
This. Check out this 60 Minutes. Piece on him, and I'm with you, except for he's 22 and he does throw over 100 miles an hour, which is pretty insane.
I was going to say, I agree with both of you. I think what you probably see is if he comes to the States and plays in the major leagues, he'll be a position player who's like a reliever, like a spot reliever or like a closer even. Like he won't be, like Hank says, a grind to be a starter, a nine-inning starter or whatever. That's it's asking a lot. But a reliever to spot here and there, I could see that.
Well, we'll see. He's young. He's big. He's a phenom. Brockmeyer, name of the show, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock on IFC. Thanks, Hank. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And you can shoot him a tweet at Hank Azaria if you like Oh, just Hank Azaria. There you go. Thanks, Hank. Appreciate it.
You know what Brockmire sounds like? And I mean this as a compliment because I love both these shows. It sounds like a mix between Eastbound and Down and Better Call Saul. In vibe.
It's, you know, we all hear, we all know the story about what happens to the player that gets sent down, mm-hmm. but when the announcer gets sent down, that's bad times too.
Yeah, that's typically.
All right, get the news ready. And then, Gary, I want to find out how this guy got back on the plane after.
Gary
figured it out.
It appears that he somehow eluded his captors and ran back onto the plane, then was removed again. He didn't get onto the flight.
But shouting some crazy shit.
Yes, he it seems like they got him off the plane, up the jetway. He somehow slipped him, ran back on, shouting, "I have to go home. I have to go home. Just kill me." And then they got him off again.
I feel like
he's a doctor.
Of what?
Of the Santerian religion. the crazy random computer thing. While being eminently fair, maybe not in everyone's best interest. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm going to go up and down that aisle. I'm going to find myself a dude that, you know, is wearing a cardigan. Mm-hmm. Traveling alone. Right. Like, I'm not going to find the crazy broad with the support dog or any of that. Like, I'm going to profile and find the guy who's going to, most quietly walk off of this plane with me. You know, some guy looks like $100 voucher. to Reno would make a big deal in his life.
He's got like an iPhone 2.
Yeah, you know? Or maybe like a flip phone.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
He's got a Zune.
Yeah, because this computer randomly landed on the craziest human being on that flight.
Yeah.
And arguably on any flight that day.
In the airport, yes.
In the airport. Yeah. Like you found the... There was like some atheist guy in the back who probably didn't want to go home that weekend because he didn't like his old lady, and you landed on a macaw that you were literally trying to get a macaw in a headlock and drag it down the aisle.
Got to fly back to Louisville and sign those divorce papers, damn it.
All right, True Car, baby. That's what you guys need to land on. Shopping for a car, make sure you're using True Car, getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. Well, no more. Use True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. It is True Car. Whether you're going new, whether you're going used, you got to go True Car. True Car Savers. Savers. Well, I guess they are True Car Savers. The users save, and savers, an average of $3,000 off of MSRP. So when it's time to buy, you go with True Car. Visit True Car, see what other people are paying, and enjoy a more confident buying experience. It is True Car. That is TrueCar.com. True Car. Gina Grad, news.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Break. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, the California Senate Democrats have approved a multi-billion dollar increase in the state's gas tax to pay for road and infrastructure projects. The so-called Road Repair and Accountability Act would ratchet up the state's gas tax by 12 cents a gallon and raise the tax on diesel fuel by 20 cents a gallon. It also etches out an additional charge to annual vehicle license fees ranging from $25 to $175, depending on the car's value.
See, when they do the taxes on the folks like me who don't pay our fair share and all that other kind of bullshit, or even the sin taxes. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you want to drink some booze? You want to smoke cigarettes? It's going to cost you. But this one kicks the shit out of poor people.
Yeah.
This is bad on poor Big people. Time. If you're rich, who cares?
It's $25.
Whatever it is. But I remember back when I was poor, the car thing was a big deal, like registering the cars or getting an insurance or getting a ticket or how much gas was. Gas was a big deal, the price of gas. Look, now I don't care whether it goes 25 cents this way or $1.50 that way. But then this is a big deal to poor people because we have no infrastructure in terms of transportation around here. You have to drive a car in L.A. It's crazy because when you go to Wichita and you see that gas is $1.81 a gallon and then you come home and it's $3.15 and you're like, why is everything so goddamn expensive? And this thing of like, well, we gotta they get money for the roads, they just don't spend it on the roads.
Correct.
It's a diabolical thing. It's basically you saying, it's like you going, hey, Dad, I need $5 for school for lunch. And you go, all right, here's $5. And then you go, listen, I only spent $1 of it on lunch, so I need another $4.
Yeah,
and
you know,
go,
how it is.
I gave you the $5. It's like, yeah, but I don't spend it on lunch. Yeah, well, that's what it's for. Yeah, but I only spent a little bit of it on lunch, so I need more. You want me to eat?
Right.
Yeah, I want you to eat. We're already paying you.
Well, you know who agrees with you?
Who?
Two guys on KFI AM 640 named John and Ken. They had it out with this guy, Roger Dickerson. He's the executive director for Transportation California, who supports
the bill. Of course
his
name is Roger Dickerson.
Dickerson. I listened to this.
That's the most transportation secretary name ever, whatever it is.
I listened to this at the end of last week, and while I was listening, texted Gary, and I said, we have to play this. It was long. Here's just two short clips. They speak
what
for
is
themselves.
His title?
He
Dickerson?
Is the executive director for Transportation California, and they go on about how he's
Dickerson.
A hack and he's shaking everybody down for, and he's giving money to undocumented immigrants and education that's not working and everything else. Here's the first clip.
Most people, they think you ought to set aside road money first in the budget, and then all those other categories ought to fight out for what's left. But
well,
roads are never a priority in the budget. They haven't been for decades, and it's really criminal to demand more money for something that already ought to have been paid for. Because we are one of the highest tax states in the nation, if not the highest tax state.
I understand you don't support this, but the transportation money that comes into the state is already constitutionally protected. The new money, if the legislature acts favorably today,
wait a second.
Will also be
this
constitutionally
is, this
protected.
This is the third constitutional amendment you guys are passing because you violated the last two, and there's a clause in this bill that allows them to divert the money anyway. So you're going to have three constitutional amendments that still allow for the money to be stolen.
And here's the second clip.
Guys like you, because he used to be in government.
Yeah. Well, when you were in government, what did you do?
Seven times as much.
Tell me about all the votes you made. All the votes you made to improve the road system when you were in the legislature. Come on, tell me. Tell me about all the funding that you pushed for, all the bills you wrote to make sure that money would go to the roads and bridges instead of all the other cockamamie BS. Come on, explain it. You didn't do anything, did you? But now you're a paid hack for some special interest who's looking to suck out some tax money for the next 10 years. And now you're all full of witty little pre-scripted talking points that you're going to dazzle us with, right?
Good.
So that's what John Cobalt and Ken Champo had to say
about
that.
John and Ken. It drives me... It's like this train from Merced to Modesto or whatever. I don't even know what we're doing. It just feels like the mob. It's like, there's so much money. Could we get some of it into the road? I usually say, you know, getting the rubber down to the road, but we're talking about the starlet aging out.
Sure.
That's what California is. California is like, I've said it a million times, they never say it, but it's unspoken. It's like, we got the beach right here. We got the mountains right here. Who wouldn't want to live in Malibu? Who wouldn't want to live on PCH? And it's like, we basically run our economy with loosely on a hot chick going, who wouldn't want to fuck me? Mm-hmm. Like, you go, come on, you should be studying. Or look, you're going out to lunch with that guy. You should be paying your half of the bill, and he should be paying. And it's like, come on.
Look
what I look like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't really have to earn it like they do in climates
Dubuque.
That just don't have this to offer.
We're Randy Moss.
We're Randy Moss. That's it.
We can dunk at age 12.
We don't need to be Jerry Rice. We're Randy Moss. And it's never quite spoken, but that's kind of what it is. And when businesses just pick up and leave because of all this nonsense, they're just going, have fun in Texas. You're not getting to Malibu from Texas. And it's like, yeah, but we're business.
Right.
We're moving.
Right.
All right.
Well, a video has gone viral of an Asian woman and her friend stuck on the side of the road in Running Springs, Springs, California, near Big Bear, after she was turned away by her Airbnb host and demeaned for being Asian. It was snowing pretty badly, so going back down the mountain was
risky.
That's
the renter you want.
But right? It's either Dine or Dean Suh, who happens to be a UCLA law student, and her friends actually ran into a KTLA 5 team who was up there covering the storm, so they interviewed Suh, who tearfully recounted the dispute with the host.
Turned away from the Airbnb.
Yes. But there's more to the story. It's not just that.
Gina, you said they were Asian. We'll do the UCLA math.
How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what she said. It's about a minute long. She'll explain what happened.
So we're driving up. We think everything's fine. We're ready for this ski trip in Big Bear. There were flash flood warnings
don't
all
ski.
Day. I asked the woman again, is it okay that my two friends come, right? Like, could we give you cash or how much did you say it was again? And she says, absolutely not. And I say, but you said yes. Here are some screenshots of text messages where you said that I could bring my friends. And she says, you must be high if you think that that would be okay in the busiest weekend in Big Bear. And then she said, no, like, we're done. And she canceled the trip. And she said, like, one word says it all, Asian. And,
one word says it all, Asian. I feel
there.
Confused
she said,
by
this
that.
This is why we have Trump. And she said...
It's right
like,
there.
Wow. We can't have foreigners telling us what to do. She said that to me. I'm an American citizen. This is my home. I've been here since I was 3 years old. America is my home. I consider myself an American. But this woman discriminates against me for being Asian. She canceled on us when we were 3 minutes away from the house. We're 3 minutes away. I just feel so hurt.
Now, can I just say really fast, not only is
she... It was
she,
an Airbnb?
Yes.
Did we build that wall or lock her up?
And turn that camp.
Yeah.
Doesn't she sound exactly like Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
I
couldn't do it with my eyes open because she looks so different. But I've noticed... Well, the thing about Airbnb... You're taking a self-selecting group of nutty broads. I've said it a million times. Here is the Airbnb crowd. Like, I would be a great candidate for Airbnb to reuse my house because I'm chillax and whatever.
Give me half
the money up front, half.
Don't break nothing.
Yeah, whatever. If you do, who cares? Break the boy's stuff. Whatever. Like, drink as much booze as you want. Just go to Trader Joe's and put it back before I come home. Or whatever. Like, I'd be perfect, except for I would never do it. Mm. What you're getting with the group, the Airbnb group, are divorced women in their 50s who got the house and need to make a little ends meet. Mm-hmm. And they're weird. I've stayed at these places.
They got divorced for a reason.
I've literally stayed at these places all over the world, and they're always a little bit off. I mean, we had the...
England,
this crazy broad had pictures of her kids everywhere, dog was everywhere, wanted to come in on Saturday and work, like, come back to her house while we were there. It's like, you don't mind if I use my office, do you? Just... She was off.
See, that's the crazy thing. I've stayed at a lot of Airbnbs because it's on vacation. You kind of get your freedom that way and a little more room. But I've never stayed at one that somebody lived in. You've stayed at a lot of those.
I've stayed in a lot of lived in ones. I've had some great experiences. I've had a little nutty experience and I've had kind of in between. But the theme that's reoccurring for me is 50-something-year-old divorcee is wanting to get some cash for the strange group of guys that are going to stay in her house for 4 days, but not totally signed off with the concept of four dudes living in her house for 4 days. So I like had some rules, you know what I mean? And it's like, look, you need the cash. You've opened your door and now there's a lot of stuff floating around. And like, there's a, when we stayed in Coronado in San Diego or whatever, there was no smoking on the property, not on the patio. Not in the backyard on the patio.
On the grass, like, on the sidewalk.
You wanted to smoke a cigarette, you had to go
across the street.
Stand in the street. Like, weird. Sort of weird. Like, first couple things. Couple too many sort of home pictures.
Mm.
Like, from back in the day, that was her and Anita when they were both married and their arms are around each other. Lots of books about what to do now that he's gone
picking up the pieces.
Picking up the pieces, like a lot of self-help stuff spread about. Like,
codependent no more.
I would try to lose a lot of that. I would have a big Tupperware-sized box that you get from Home Depot, and all the personalized whatever just went into that.
Just for those 4 days.
For the weekend.
Yeah, but I got some nutty broads running that.
Well, you make an interesting point, Brian. Besides the one that took us home that one night, would you say when it comes to nutty middle-aged people, the men go for driving in the rideshare companies and the women go for offering their homes?
Typically.
Typically. Yeah. I have not seen... Gary or Matt Fondelier's got to figure this. Fondelier's got to figure this out. I've stayed at Airbnb all over the place, and I don't remember dealing with the dude. It could be an 80-20% thing. It always feels like the house was lost in the divorce. Thus, the dude has moved on.
Right.
Thus, the chick who doesn't have enough money to keep the house up.
Right.
Is left with the house, and thus the Airbnb sounds like a fantastic idea. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what else is a fantastic idea. LegalZoom. LegalZoom. Five things business owners can count on from LegalZoom. Reliability. More than 1 million people trusted LegalZoom to help start their business. Corporation, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more. Number two, experience. They've been helping business owners for over 15 years. Three, helpful support, all based in the United States of America, USA. Legal advice is number four. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but they have a network of independent attorneys to review supplier contracts, help with the employment law, and more. And last but not least, no surprises. Complete transparency, upfront pricing, customer reviews, and satisfaction guaranteed. It is LegalZoom. LegalZoom, Dawson.
Check out LegalZoom today and see how they can help make a life better for you and your business. And don't forget to enter Adam at checkout to save even more. LegalZoom.com.
So Monterey was a dude where I stayed. Nope. No? Reservations
all in chicks so far. Upcoming reservation in Monterey.
Your first
is a dude.
Upcoming. Oh, I've not.
Correct.
I've not lived one yet.
Oh,
they've all been
everything.
Girls. Oh, not girls. 56-year-old women.
Yeah.
Nine. So this is they're baddie.
Excited.
I can't wait for you to report on the difference.
Well, I've not really had
cigars waiting out.
I've had
leave. Don't leave. Bye.
I think maybe this is me. Maybe. I think. In a man's world,
here we go.
James Brown.
Here we go.
No, once the dude says, "I'm putting my house on the market, you may stay here," and I will, a whole bunch of rules don't come along with it because it's not an emotional. Guys are a little more like, "Look, they're paying $359 a night; they get to do what they want."
It becomes transactional,
and I'll come in and clean up.
It's your house, not your home.
The gals was like, "You're staying here, and you're paying me, but I still kind of need this from you."
Yeah,
was kind of the vibe I was getting.
I see it.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Well, this might not be a good idea for an Airbnb. The Institute for Space Medicine and Physiology in Toulouse, France, is looking for 24 people to stay in bed for 60 days straight. At the end of the 60 days, you'll get a check for $17,000. Here's the qualifications. You need to be in shape, healthy, a non-smoker, have a body mass index between 22 and 27, and be a man between the ages of 20 and 45. Scientists
I feel like we could save a lot of money. My mom could just go deliver all the data she collected during the 70s.
Meticulously giving data myself.
I was on my back from 1971 to 1979. I didn't move a muscle. Yeah. So what do you need to know?
She'd be perfect about bone density.
I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah.
I get up and you'll freak out every once in a while.
But I can forego that for the study.
For 60 days.
Don't even bother with the study. She just report what she learned. How much weight she put on.
Yeah, so take that out. Wait, Gina, what are the age ranges?
Between 20 and 45. You still make the cut.
I think my mom was in her mid-40s when she was doing this. I said, all she needs is a steno pad in 10 minutes. We can take care of this whole thing. Yeah.
We should send Kalen over there. He's got a passport. I think it might be a dual citizenship. His mom's over there in England.
I'm hearing. 60 days, he gets $17,000.
He's working on it. He's not dual yet.
They want to know.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you why. Scientists want to study what effect prolonged periods of weightlessness will have on humans. Afterwards, participants will have 2 weeks of rehab where they'll be studied to see what effects it had on their bodies because they're trying to test it for astronauts.
I saw Willy Wonka. Those grandparents just pop right up and start dancing.
Grandpa Joe.
They've been in that bed for decades. You start dancing.
Just watch that over the weekend.
Is it weightlessness?
Weightlessness, and this is as close as they can get.
Oh, to just being muscle atrophy. Dormant. Yeah. Yeah. Like basically, the way we can not have anything push back on.
Right.
Yes, this is getting back to and coming full circle. We're talking about Randy Moss or whatever. You need that gravity. Mm-hmm. You want to do push-ups, you have to have that weight, and they can't keep their bone density and their muscle mass in outer space because they don't have that. Pushing. You got to get up. You got to sort of get up every day and feel that gravity and then lean into it and push it back and build that muscle and go out and get some.
Absolutely.
And there's the psychological, spiritual, invisible component of this is every bit as real as the physical, tangible version, which is you need that adversity and obstacles and what have you, and you need to just go out, overcome those things, persevere and all that kind of stuff in the face of some adversity sometimes, and you will then have a stronger build if you go do that physically and spiritually. They're both sort of a metaphor for each other, but they're exactly the same.
Absolutely.
And as a matter of fact, as I think about us in whatever goes on psychologically and whatever goes on physically, all the same rules apply. They're just rules, which is you don't get to do this or you do get to do that or you can do this, but it's going to catch up to you if you do that or whatever it is.
Shortcuts going to
moderate. Right, the emotional part and the physical part are both exactly the same.
Yeah. Deal with this now, or else it's going to be a bigger problem.
Yes,
down the road.
And I think we've definitely settled on the part where you go, hey, son, don't eat dessert at noon. You know, instead we should go out for a walk and have a piece of healthy fruit. Like we get that. We're not getting the psychological part of what these kids need to do. All right.
I'm just wondering, can I ask you really quickly, we're talking about your mom and the weightlessness and air. How would your mom be running an Airbnb? First of all, she'd stay, right? She wouldn't leave while the guests were there.
This one bedroom's off limits. Everything else, knock yourself out.
Can you imagine?
It reminds me of an old Benny Hill joke. She'd come back in and my stepdad, John, if he spoke, would say, okay, we're going to Airbnb. We're giving our house up for Airbnb. What's the price? And she'd say, $100 a night. And he'd say, $100 a night. And she'd say, it's all we could afford to give him. Because you would literally have to be paid.
You would have to
be paid to stay in my mom's house as an Airbnb situation. You would have to get payment.
You'd need a certain body mass index to get to your room through the fridge.
True.
Get a running start.
You can't just whisper.
Get some Crisco on the sides.
To be fair, one component I've never talked about is not only do we have two front doors, but my mom's bedroom had two doors. You could go through the living room, walk by the refrigerator, and walk out into this miniature hallway. It was like the Winchester mystery gardening shed. Like, you don't want to say mansion. It was like if the Winchester house had a gardening shed, that's what it was. Just a bunch of weird. Yes, it was built like 100 years ago, and it was weird, and it was not well thought out, and I wish it upon nobody. And that's why it was bought for $650,000 2 years ago and bulldozed. Economically, you buy a house in the valley for $650,000. Oh, maybe you put $150,000 into the kitchen and put a half bath and try to flip it and get $900 out of it or something. But
start over.
Bulldoze
it. Raise it to the ground.
On a small lot. Yeah. Okay. There you go, everybody. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Shut up, whore! Gina Grad! Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God. Shut up, bitch. Shut up, whore! Oh, my God.
Should you sign off?
Yeah. LifeLock, baby. Where was I? Oh, there's a breach. An online online tool used for student loan applications may have compromised up to 100,000 taxpayers. Uh-oh. Wait till John and Ken hear about this. Identity thieves use the stolen data to file fake tax returns and get $30 million. Fraudulent refunds. Let's not let that happen to you. Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. If you have a problem, they're U.S. based. They're out here and they don't outsource. They are U.S. based and they will fix it. But you're not going to have a problem. You got LifeLock. I have it. My kids have it. Philly Cheesesteak has it. The wife has it. Everyone has it because all we do is buy stuff online and we want to protect our identity. No one can prevent all identity theft at all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. Membership starts at just $9.99 a month. Peace of mind for $9.99 a month. It's LifeLock, Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. Corolla drinks. Lynette's going to be judging at a bikini contest coming up in a Hooters. And that's coming up at on the 20th of April, 9 o'clock, Costa Mesa.
420.
Yeah, 420.
Wow.
Also, Long Beach, that's the following Saturday.
Thursday.
All right. That's April 7th at 9 o'clock.
27th?
Oh, I'm sorry. 27th. Go to Corolla Drinks for more details.
Say shut up, Lynette. Whore!
New limited shirts. I agree with me. It's available as we speak. And go to amcroll.com. You get the mugs, the hats, posts, all that kind of stuff. And me and Prager, No Safe Space, number one on iTunes. Loving you. So check that out. iTunes, Amazon, blah, 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 blah. Watch that Spike show and check it out online. Amcroll.com. Click through our banner, blah, blah, blah. And until next time, Adam Kroll for Gina Grand and Ball Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Check out Take a Knee, great podcast. It's available at adamcarolla.com. Just click on the link. Voicemail, phone number, if you want to leave us a message, is 888-634-1744. Gina Grad, 5 to 8 a.m. weekdays, Monday through Friday at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. And for info on everything to do with Adam Carolla, Endless Rant IPA, Mangria, books, movies, live podcasts, and more, visit adamcarolla.com.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.